29, Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 26. It says there, verse number 26, it says, "Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord." Let's pray. We'll have the special and the preaching. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've allowed us to be in church today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the people that are here, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you prepare our hearts even now for the special music and the preaching, Lord. Please convict us where we need convicting, Lord. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, I pray you not let them leave that way today, Lord, but know for sure that heaven is their home, Lord. I pray for pastor that you be with him. Please be with the special music to follow. In your heavenly name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. We need God to do something in our country, amen. Thank you for that beautiful song, ladies. Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. And the house of God needs to be right. We need to be in order if God's going to bring revival to our country. And what you see today's day anymore, and this isn't part of the message, this is for free. You didn't have to pay for this morning. But what you see in our country today is the church is just moving along with the world. As the world gets worse, the church is just following it. And the church, many churches of today, is where the world was back in the 70s. And we're just following behind by a few years. And that's why you see the chaos in today's day and age. And thank God for good music. Thank God for good music. You see a lot of days anymore in the church house and brought in the world's music. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a right way that you got to worship God. May we hold on to that in our churches. Amen. May we hold on to that in our churches. Not bring in this contemporary, not bring in the world's music, but may it stay true. May we, the church, be a beacon of light. If the church isn't a beacon of light and truth, who is going to be? Amen? If the church doesn't decide, hey, we got to draw some lines, where are the lines going to be drawn? This country needs good churches. Once again, that's free. That's to the side there. And you could go home with a little bit extra snack from this morning's meal. Amen? Of course, it's Super Bowl Sunday. How many excited about the Super Bowl? Boo. I'm with you, Brother Clarence. I have not followed football at all this season because the Bears haven't been doing anything, so it's not worth it. Probably one of the most watched events, I guess, is Super Bowl. I guess it's who the Patriots and the Falcons this year. I won't ask how many Patriot fans or Falcon fans. I'm an anti-Patriot fan, though. Not when it comes to America, don't get me wrong, just the football team. And I don't like a few players on their team, so if they lose, I think we all win. I don't know too many people on either team, but I do know something about the Super Bowl. I do know something about this after or this evening. There will be officials on the field officiating the game. I do know that. The call that the official makes is always the final call. I love these sports guys that think they're all that in a bag of chips, these players that get out there, and a ref makes a call, and they think they're going to change the ref's mind by arguing with the guy. I'm sorry, you're not changing the ref's mind or the official's mind by making an argument. You actually make a fool of yourself. You're not going to change the official's call. That is the last word there. And what a player may think or a coach may think does not change the call of the official. Of course, what's going on this evening, let me say this as another side note, what's going on this evening at 6 o'clock here at Bible Baptist Church when we get together and praise God and preach the Word of God is far more important than the Super Bowl tonight. Hey, don't miss God's house to watch a leather piece of ball fly across a field, all right? Don't understand what's important in our life. But we're playing a much more important game than football this evening. We're playing a much more important game in this life, the game of life. And it's not really a game at all. You get one shot, one chance. It's not over after four quarters. You get one shot at this thing called life. And in this thing called life, in this game called life, we have an official, a judge if you want to call it, somebody who has the final word when it's all said and done. And what he says is final. We can argue all we want about our opinion or how we think it ought to go, but what the judge says or what the official says, that is what is all said and done. In the end, a call that God makes is final. God is our judge in this game. I remember I coached the high school basketball team for a few years. We were playing one particular game, and it was a close game. We didn't have very many close games, so it was exciting for us. It was a close game, and we were hoping to pull it out. One of our more star players, was close to fouling out. Four fouls. I said, you cannot foul because you're going to foul out of the game. And sure enough, he does something, some stupid thing, and the official calls a foul on him. Calls him out of the game. He goes over to the bench. Coach, it wasn't a foul. I swear, I just stood up straight up. It wasn't a foul, coach. I said, you can argue with me all you want, but I can't do anything about it. I can't change anything. I'm just the coach. I'm not the official. You know, it's important in this game of life or in this thing called life that we know who the official, who the judge is. It's important that you understand who your judge is. Stay with me this morning. We'll go somewhere with this. I got to know who my judge is. I need to know what my judge is expecting from me. And then I need to follow what the judge is expecting if I'm going to have a good trial on that day, if it's going to turn out well for me. A call that God makes is what matters in our life. We're going to preach on the subject this morning, know your judge. Know your judge. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll get into the message this morning. Lord, we ask for your help this morning. Lord, there's a spiritual need in each one of our hearts and our lives this morning. I'd ask that you please meet that spiritual need as only you can. Have your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I'd ask you, please give me the words to say and your power. Lord, please use me as your instrument. I cannot do anything without you, Lord. So we ask for your presence this morning. We ask for you to meet with us. We promise to give you the praise and the glory, the thanks for what you do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's look at our text once again, if we would. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 26. The Bible says, many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. I want you to notice one thing about our text right here. It reveals to us that all are going to be judged one day. He says right here, every man's judgment. What judgment is it talking about this morning? It's talking about that final judgment here in this text. You see, we all have a final judgment that will be at one day. If you can imagine a setup of a trial. I don't know, maybe you've been in court before. Maybe you've been on trial before. Maybe you played hand in a trial as a witness. Maybe you've just sat on the couch and watched Judge Judy as you ate bonbons. I don't know. But I would imagine most of us have seen a trial set up before. You have the defendant, the one that is being tried or judged to find out if he's guilty or innocent. You have the defender, the one that's trying to prove the defendant innocent, that he's not guilty. You have the prosecutor, the one that's out to get the guy. He's trying to prove that he's guilty. You have the witnesses that bring forth evidence and say, this is what I saw. This is what I observed. And then, of course, you have the judge, the one that hears the matter and decides the judgment. And can I say, that's the important one right there. Now, all of them are important, but that's the most important one right there because he's going to decide which way it goes. And every single person, the Bible tells us right here, every single person, every one of us is going to stand trial in that final judgment against a judge. Every man's judgment. I don't care whether you're young or old. I don't care, teenager, senior saint this morning. I don't care whether it's a man or woman, boy or girl. It doesn't matter what your condition is. We all are going to give an account of all that we have done, the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 talks about it. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to die one day. It's appointed. Our number's going to be up. We're going to die one day. After we die, there is a judgment that will take place. Let me remind you this morning. There is a final judgment. A final judgment. The last call. The last call that's made. The world mocks us. You watch Hollywood. Hollywood mocks this final judgment. A lot of the films that they'll produce will be a mock or have something in there mocking the preacher that calls out, hey, beware, judgment is coming. The world mocks this idea that there will be a final judgment. You know why? You know why? Because they don't want to believe that there's a final judgment one day. If I mock it, if I make fun of it, if I criticize it, hopefully I don't have to answer to that one day. They don't want that accountability. But it's remarkable how many people ignore the fact that there's going to be a final judgment. Well, if I don't believe that, I don't have to worry about that. Pastor, I'm not going to think about all that, that final judgment, the fact that I'm going to be tried one day. Don't be so foolish and don't be so ignorant to think I don't believe that or I don't want to think about that, so I'm not going to have to worry about it one day. Because it's coming whether we like it or not. The Bible says that every man is going to be judged one day, and you know what you can count on? You could count on God's word being 100% accurate every time. Hey, if God said it, it's going to happen. You say, well, what about this? What about that? I can't maybe explain all your questions, but I can say, if God said it, I don't care what you say, I'm going to believe it. That's enough right there. You know, criminals, they'll break the law. You know, they'll go steal, they'll do something. They'll break the law, and what do? They try to cover up the tracks to make sure that they don't get caught, right? Is this thing on? You with me? Nobody wants to get caught, right? So they hide, hoping that they don't get caught, hoping that they don't have to go on trial, hoping that they never have to face a judge for what they have done. And there's a lot of people in today's day and time, they live life doing whatever they want to do, hoping that one day they don't have to stand before a judge answering for what they have done. But let me say, although there are some criminals that might find a way to get out of standing before the judge, not one single one of us are going to opt out or get out of standing before that judge. There'll not be one single man, woman, or child that opts out of standing before God one day. There's no way to get out of this final trial one day. No getting away from it. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing." You say, I'm going to cover my tracks real well. God can't see. He says, I'm bringing the secret things, the known things, the good, the bad, the ugly. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all coming into trial one day. And that's what God's telling us here. Although we cannot skip out on this trial, let me say, sir, ma'am, let me give you some good news. I can prepare for this trial. Hey, I can't get out of that final judgment one day, that final trial when I stand before God. But God's writing to this because He loves us, and He says, hey, there's a way to prepare for the trial that you're going to face. You want to know that your judge, or you want to know your judge before this trial. You want to be prepared to meet this judge. My little sister, I have two of them. I won't tell you which one for sake of embarrassment. One of my sisters, though, a few years ago, she was driving and she broke the law. She went speeding. I know none of us have ever done that before, right? She got pulled over for 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Praise God that we don't have officers like that in Terre Haute. Communist Illinois, they always do it. She got pulled over. The officer asked for her license. She gave him her license. Comes to find out, her license was suspended. She had gotten a previous offense or ticket, and they wanted her to go online and take a class. She didn't realize that. And so her license at the time was suspended. So she gets pulled over. It's about 9 o'clock in the evening. It's dark outside. The officer asks her to get out of the car. He arrests her. He takes her down to the precinct. He fingerprints her. He impounds her car. Puts her through the whole rigmarole. I have a 19-year-old gal that got suspended for not taking a class. And so takes her down, goes through this whole thing, and she's just in tears. She's sobbing. And he's reading her the right act about everything and just putting her through it. She'll never forget it, I'm sure. But in that whole story, funny thing is, the judge in the area, it just so happened that my dad went out to eat with the judge on regular occasion. There's something good about knowing the judge. One of those times when they were sitting down to lunch, my dad shared that story about getting arrested and car impounded and fingerprinted at the precinct on this 19-year-old daughter of his, and they were pretty good friends. Lo and behold, the trial was dropped and everything dismissed and everything just went away. It pays to know the judge. You know what? You say, Pastor, how can I be prepared for this final judgment? I think one of the most crucial things is I got to know who my judge is. What an effect that has in our life. In preparation for our trial one day, knowing our judge will prepare us for this judgment. And in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 26, our text this morning, it tells us a few truths regarding our judge that I would like to bring to our attention this morning that I believe will help us as we prepare for this final trial that I'm going to stand on one day. Let's look at this verse this morning, if we will. I want you to notice the first truth that sticks out in our text this morning is the truth of the confusion about our judge. He brings to our attention that there's some confusion many times about the judge that we have. Many people mistake about this matter of judgment in the fact of, who's my judge going to be? You know what our text points out? Look at the beginning of our text. Many seek whose favor? Many seek the ruler's favor. He says, many seek man's opinion. Many seek, and they look for man's pleasure in their life. He says, many are confused about this fact. Who is the judge? First things first, I got to know who my judge is. Why? Why is it so important that I know who my judge is? I don't get it mixed up. One thing about a judge, catch this. The judge that we have is going to have an influence on our actions. Say, how so, Pastor? Ladies, you went to the store last week, right? You had to buy groceries or whatever else. I guarantee just about every lady in this room would not go to the grocery store without first getting their makeup done, getting dressed, getting prepared, and then when they're all prepared, then they go to the store. They don't go to the store in their pajamas. They get prepared. Why? Why? Oh, I don't. Yeah, I know. There's some that do. I understand. Why? Why do you get prepared to go to the store, ladies? Because when you get there, there's other ladies there. And you don't want to be judged of them on not being prepared to go out. Am I right, ladies? Somebody's going to say something. If you go looking like you just woke up out of bed, somebody's going to think something. So, I don't want to be judged of them. So their opinion causes me, it influences me, to have some action before I end up going to the store. Now follow me. You were afraid someone would judge you on how you looked. So the other shoppers there at Walmart had an influence over you. They decided some actions that you were going to take. Our judge has an influence. We seek to please or to pretend in order to find a positive judgment. You came to church this morning, right? Brother Rick stood at the door and greeted people as they came in, or Brother Frank and Miss Nanny. And what happened is you got out of the car right after that fight on the way to church. You put a big smile on your face, and you walked in the door like everything's fine and dandy, right? We pretended everything was kosher. Why? Because as we walk in, we want people to have the idea or judgment that everything is fine, hunky, and dory in my life, right? Whether it is or not. We don't want to be judged of somebody, and so they have an influence. A judge, that person, has an influence over my actions, over what I decide, over how I pretend or try to please or whatever else you want to call it. The judge, though, whoever we determine that judge to be, that judge is going to have an influence over our life. You follow me this morning? Whether that judge be a spouse, whether that judge be a peer, whether that judge be another church member, whether that judge be the pastor, whether that judge be God. They all, if we deem them as judge in our life, then they have an influence over what we will do. Many make the mistake, catch this now, many make the mistake of giving God's influence to man. And that's what this verse is bringing to our attention this morning. Many seek the ruler's favor. Now stay with me, teenagers, stay with me this morning. Many seek the ruler's favor. Here's the problem that God brings forth. Here's the confusion that we see in this matter of the judgment. There's many people, a lot of times we are guilty of giving that influence that belongs to God because He is our judge into the hands of other people. What do you mean? We allow other people to be our judge. We allow others and their opinion to matter more than God's opinion in our life. Are you following me this morning? Why do we do this, Pastor? Why do we often care more about that person's opinion more than His opinion? Well, there's a few reasons, I believe. I believe, one, man is visible and God is invisible. We see people. We know they're looking at us. We know they see our actions. They hear our words. But God above is an invisible God, is He not? And many times because He's invisible, it's put on the wayside and we tend to see people as our judge instead of a God that we cannot see. We make family members our judge. We make a spouse our judge. We make our friends our judge or our coworkers our judge. Other people our judge instead of Him being judged because I can see these people. I care what my family members think. I care what the people at church think. If we're not careful, though, we'll seek to please those that we can see rather than the one that we cannot see. Hey, Christian, catch it this morning. If I'm not careful, I'm going to seek to please this person in the pew right here because I can see them. And I can't see God. And so all my focus on in life is, well, I got to please that person. I got to please the pastor. I can see him. I got to please my spouse. I can see them. Can I say there's nothing wrong about pleasing a pastor, a spouse, or a church member? Hey, but there is something wrong when that is a priority over pleasing God first and foremost. You understand? If I please God first and foremost, all the other things will drop in line. Too many times we're too worried about what man thinks instead of what God thinks. I'm worried about this person and that person and what their view is of my life. What about what does God think? But that tends to get back in our mind because we don't see Him. We see them. Common mistake we make. We get confused. Who's going to be our judge one day? Hey, your wife, sir, is not going to be your judge. Praise God for that, right? Your husband's not going to be your judge one day. These other church members aren't going to be your judge. Pastor's not going to be your judge one day. Well, I'm going to cover up, make sure everything looks pretty for the pastor. I'm not your judge one day. Your coworkers are not your judge one day. I got to keep that in remembrance. People begin to hold a stronger, or allow people to hold a stronger influence in our life than God does and than His Word does. This verse is very accurate. Many seek the ruler's favor. Many seek to win the approval of others. They seek to follow other people's opinion. The molehill at our feet of other people gets a whole lot greater attention many times than the mountain on the horizon because of all the fog in the way and we can't see the mountain. And God's approval and His influence is worth so much more, but because we can't see it, many times it takes a back door or a back seat to our life. We give the influence that belongs to God to man many times also because God's judgment is postponed. Something about God's judgment, it doesn't always come right away. In fact, we're talking about that final judgment day. That final judgment day is not till after you die. When I do whatever it is I'm doing, lightning's not coming down automatically and striking me dead. There's a final judgment. It's postponed. Sometimes we mistake God's long-suffering for a lack of judgment. Well, Pastor, I did this. He's not striking me dead yet. And we test God, right? Let's see, I'm going to go a little bit further. God's still not judging me. I'm okay. And His postponement, or His judgment's postponed. So I keep testing the water and going a little bit farther. Let me tell you something about God's final judgment. It's not coming until the final day. It's just because God doesn't strike you dead today for doing what you know is sin, don't think that you've gotten away with what it is that it's in our life. His judgment's postponed, so sometimes man's opinion or man's influence becomes more important than God's. Many times man's opinion determines what we do. A spouse, a friend's opinion, a co-worker, criticism that I get from a co-worker for acting like a Christian. All of a sudden I get criticism, so, well, I'm not going to act like a Christian anymore. I just allow that person to influence me. I witness to somebody, or I bring up Christ's name to somebody, and they give me that look. Oh, I better not talk out about Christ anymore. Young people, at your school, you dress differently or you talk differently and the other kids look at you different. Well, I better change that. I don't want to stick out. You know what you did? You allowed man to influence you instead of God influencing you. You can't allow man's opinion, family members, spouses, to get you out of God's will because you care about their opinion. Yes, we all struggle with this thing about caring about other people's opinion, but you got to understand, who is my judge one day? Let me tell you about something about man's favor. Man's influence. Man's favor always disappoints. 100%. You know what I found out in life? Many times I'll seek to do something to find favor in somebody's eyes, and I get done doing it, and it never fulfills what I wanted it to do. I'll do something and hope to gain somebody's favor, and man, I'll work at it, I'll put in the effort, and it seems like it has no effect. Man, I've been working at this. I've been working on my relationship with my spouse, and it seems like it's not affecting it all. No. Hold on. Listen this morning. You got to do it for the sake of God wants me to do it. God's influence on my life. Not for the sake of my spouse, for the sake of my coworker, for the sake of my friend. What does God want me to do? Not a person's influence, but God's influence. Are you following me this morning? Are you with me? Too many times we allow people to influence us. I always end up disappointed when I do so. We hope to please someone. We hope that in doing something, it will change something about what we're doing. We always are disappointed when we seek man's favor, regardless of who it is. Hey, man is sinful. I don't know about you. I'm not perfect. So when I'm always seeking to please man, I'm always going to be disappointed in doing so. 100% of the time, regardless of who it is. The Bible says, Psalm 146, verse 3, he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He says, hey, don't put your trust and your faith and your influence in people, because they're going to fail you. Don't confuse who your judge is. Who is our judge this morning? God's our judge. That's what he's saying right here. He says your final judgment comes from the Lord. We must not give the influence that belongs to God into the hands of others. So what do I learn from this? As I see this, a lot of people have confusion who my judge is one day. What do I need to do? I need to place my aim on pleasing God, not man. This is what we're learning. This is the truth that we're learning. First, I need to place my aim on pleasing Him, that my life might give His pleasure, not on pleasing people around me, not on just pleasing my family or pleasing coworkers or pleasing the pastor or the church member. Pleasing Him. That's what it must be. Why? Because He's my judge. He must have my influence. Christian, can I say, stop trying to impress people. Stop living to impress somebody. Start living to impress Him. Start looking at it. What can I do to please God in my life? It doesn't matter as much of what a man thinks as it does God in our life. We're made for His pleasure. And He is a judge about how I fulfill what I was made to do one day. I'm going to stand before God one day. I'm not going to answer for how I pleased people in my life. I'm going to answer for how I pleased God with my life. Don't confuse who our judge is. Let me say secondly, second truth that we find about our judge is the comfort of our judge. It says that judgment cometh from the Lord. Our text takes the confusion out of whose pleasure I should seek and who is really my judge, but then it gives some consolation in who my judge is. We live in a day of corrupt government, do we not? You see it all around. We ought to be praying. They're fixing to try to appoint a judge to replace our last judge in the Supreme Court. Pray that we get a conservative. And we have enough scandal. We have enough corruption in our government. We need a man that's going to seek truth, that's going to abide by God's word. You look at America, they just sang that song a little bit ago about America and turning from God and turning back to God. It's a sad day in our government when government decides that a life of a baby is not important. It's a sad day in our government when our government decides that there's no sanctity in marriage anymore. It's a sad day in our government when our government decides to kick the Bible out, that the Bible's not important in our government, in our schools, in society. What a sad day our government is in. And there's corruption throughout. We turn our eyes to money and what will bring money in our community instead of what brings morals into the community. Well, that's why we bring a casino into the community instead of saying, no, for morality's sake, we ought to keep the gambling, we ought to keep the beer out, we ought to keep all that junk out. We sacrifice. Why? Because government is corrupt. There's a good chance you and I stand before a judge. You read about stories all the time. There's a good chance if you and I stand before a judge here on this earth, we might just get set up with a corrupt judge. There's a good possibility. You say, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. I thought this one was encouraging and comforting. Here's a comfort. I might stand before a judge one day. In fact, if things continue on the way that they are, I very well might stand before a judge for a hate crime for preaching against sin. And I might get a judge that is liberal in his thought process and that hates the Bible and that hates God and decides, hey, you're going away. But that final judgment that I have one day, catch this morning, Christian, that final judgment that I have one day, I have no worries about standing before a corrupt judge. I have no worries about how it's going to turn out when I stand before God, because I'm standing before the Lord God, who is a perfect judge. He says your judgment is going to come from the Lord, not some man. Thank God that I'm not going to stand before a corrupt man one day. Man is so unstable. Up one day, down the next day. Man changes constantly. Right, sir? Thank God that your judge is not your wife one day. One day you might be her hero and the greatest warrior on earth. The next day you might be the loser of the losers. And you never changed anything either. It just changes. Man changes. I read something the other day. I stuck it in here. Let me see if I could find it. This is good. The female rules. You ready for this? The females always makes the rules. How sad. But true. The rules are subject to change without notice. Very true. No male can possibly know all the rules. If the female suspects the male knows all the rules, she must immediately change some of the rules. The female is never wrong. If it appears a female is wrong, it is because of a flagrant misunderstanding caused by something the male did or said wrong. If rule number 6 applies, the male must apologize immediately for causing the misunderstanding. Number 8, the female can change her mind at any time. Number 9, the male must never change his mind without express written consent of the female. Number 10, the female has every right to be angry or upset at any time. Number 11, the male must remain calm at all times unless the female wants him to be angry or upset. Number 12, the female must under no circumstances let the male know whether she wants him to be angry or upset. Number 13, the male is expected to read the mind of the female at all times. At all times, what is important is what the female meant, not what she said. Any attempt to document the rules could result in bodily harm. If the male at any time believes he is right, he must refer back to rule number 5. So there you go. Thank the Lord, though. Thank the Lord that we're not each other's judges, because the same is true with man. One day we want one thing, the next day we want another. One day we expect one thing from somebody, the next day we expect another. One day we expect somebody to live one day, and the next day we're living the opposite way that we expect somebody to live. Amen? That's how we are. We're sinful man. Man is faulty in his view of things. Sometimes we'll look at the same thing, and I'll have one opinion, and somebody else will have another opinion, and guess what? It's just because we have two different angles that we're looking at. We're not perfect in our view. Thank God that man is not our judge. Man is swayed by persuasion. Man is prone to error and imperfect. I don't want man to be my judge one day. I just do not. So who is our judge? Our text tells us, in great comfort we find here, every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. I love Psalm 145, verse 8. Listen to this verse, if you would. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I don't know about you, but that's the judge that I want. A judge that's slow to anger, that has a lot of compassion. That's what I need in my life. Because I look at Kevin Swarga and I say, I'm going to stand before God one day. But then I read about God's compassion and His love and His mercy, and I thank God that He's going to be my judge one day. We ought to rejoice about the fact He's our judge. A gracious God, a compassionate God, a patient, merciful God. God as our judge ought not be a terror. It ought to be an encouragement. Or at least it should be. It depends how we're living. Amen? We have, think about this, a just God as our judge. Think about that this morning. A just God. He is perfectly fair in every judgment call He makes. You stand before a judge is a man. He's prone to error. But before God one day when we stand, He is not prone to error. He is perfect in His judgment. He is fair every time. He's not prone to error. He's not constantly changing. In fact, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't got to worry about what God thinks today. He already told us what He thinks, and it stays the same year after year after year. Hey, God expects the same today as He did back in the Bible times. Oh, that was Bible times, Pastor. God expects the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that. I can know what He's going to expect because He's the same. He's not swayed by who we are or the people that we know. God is no respecter of persons. But God, don't you know my last name? God says, I don't care what your last name is. I'm going to look at your works. He's just. He's not swayed. The rich, the poor, the black, the white, the young, the old, He judges them all the same. A just God is our judge. We have a wise God as our judge. Our God knows all the facts. His eyes are searching, beholding all that we do. The judge that sits in the courthouse here in Vigo County does not see everything that he goes on. He has to rely on a witness. He has to rely on the fact that the witness is going to tell the truth and that witness saw everything. You know what? God is a judge that has seen all. He knows all. I thank God that I have a judge one day. He doesn't have to guess. He's not deceived. He's not blinded by not knowing all the facts. He sees it all. God is truth, the Bible says. He's a righteous judge. The Bible says in Psalm 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Hey, God is a righteous judge. He describes Him in 2 Timothy, He describes Him as the righteous judge. He gives the right reward every time. Every reward that I earn, He doesn't miss it. He makes sure that He has that reward waiting. Every bad deed that I do also, follows up. He doesn't miss anything. He's righteous. He's just. He's wise. We have a strong God as our judge. Our judge has a power to carry out any sentence, any reward that he wants. And this might be a curse for those that have chosen to depart from God's way, but it's a blessing for those that choose to walk in God's way. Think about that. There's nothing that's going to prohibit God's blessing in my life when I choose to follow God. God has all power. He is strong to carry out the reward that he wants to give. God is all strong and all powerful to carry out the judgment that has to take place as well. A strong God, an all-powerful God. If I follow God's laws, I know nothing will prohibit God's blessing. If I disobey God's laws, I know nothing will prevent God's judgment and chastisement. What a comfort and consolation to know I have a God, listen now, that's almighty, that's omniscient, that's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. He's not lacking in any area. I have a perfect judge that I'm going to stand before one day. I'm glad that I have a perfect judge. I don't have to worry about an unfair trial. We got some fellows that work in the prison, and they'll testify to the fact that probably about 99% of the people in the prison say, I'm here unfairly. Hey, there's no excuse when you get to heaven. You'll have a fair hearing, a fair trial. We see the confusion about our judge. We see the comfort about our judge. Let me give you a third truth. We see the counsel from our judge. Because man is not our judge, but God is our judge, and because God is a perfect judge and he's just in his judgment, let me say this last truth that I want to bring to your attention. It's wise then to acknowledge God is our judge. That word acknowledge, it means own. It's wise to own God as our judge. Let me explain a few things about this judgment one day. Understand, judgment is going to come without warning one day. There's no warning signal. Hey, we're 5 years out, get ready for judgment. Hey, we're 1 year out, get ready for God's judgment. Get your act in order. No, the final judgment is going to come without advance warning to hurry up and prepare. What does that mean? That means preparation's now. Hey, Christian, that means now is time to get in order. You say, why don't we have a warning? God wants to see that we're doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to be doing it all the time. He says, hey, now is preparation day. He's not going to say, now you have a day to prepare because I'm coming back soon. Judgment day is right around the corner. No, live every day like today is going to be judgment day. When I get to the end of today, I may very well be standing before God. I don't know when it's coming. It's like that teacher in the classroom. When I was a young person, there was times where the teacher had to step out and take care of some business. The teacher would say, now class, be quiet and do your work, no talking, and I'll be back. And then they would leave the classroom. Of course, you always had those kids. Of course, I was never one of those kids that would start talking, right? No, on a few occasions, as the teacher came back, and this is how the teacher did it. The teacher wouldn't go down the hall yelling, I'm coming! Get ready! Don't talk now! No, the teacher would get down, kind of look in the class, and it always, you know, a couple minutes, it seemed like they were standing there. You wouldn't even notice. You'd be just joking around with your buddy. All of a sudden, you look up, and you see the teacher standing there, like she's been standing there for 10 minutes, just staring at you. And you know you're in deep, deep doo-doo. It's over. The teacher came without warning. Can I say one day God's going to come without warning? He's coming. And we're not going to have some type of time of, hey, hurry up and turn over the new leaf. Hurry up and correct some wrongs that you did. No. Now's the time. Now's the time where we're preparing to meet our judge one day. Something else about this judgment day, eternity is at stake. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Eternity is at stake. This final judgment holds eternity in the hand. The Bible tells us, for the lost. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, if you would. The book of Matthew. In the Gospels, first book in the Gospels, chapter number 25. I'd like you to see this verse this morning. I'd like you to see that eternity is at stake in this final judgment. This judgment will determine for the lost where you will spend forever. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 31, and I'll give you a second to turn there this morning because I'd like for you to see it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Jesus Christ is teaching here about this last judgment. Verse number 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divideth his, or as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Who's he talking about there? He's comparing the saved and the unsaved, the believer and the lost, the unbeliever. He says he's going to separate them like the sheep and the goat. Look at this, verse 33. And he shall set the sheep, that's the saved, on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hey, come into heaven. You believer, you're saved, come into heaven. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Remember, those are the unsaved. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, this judgment that we're talking about, this final judgment, for the unsaved there, it's not a judgment of, let's see if your good works outweigh your bad. Let's put them on a scale. Let's see which one outweighs the other. It's not that type of judgment. It's a judgment where he looks at you, he looks at the Lamb Book of Life, and he says, is their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are they saved? Okay, they're not saved. They're an unbeliever. They're a goat. Cast them in outer darkness. Cast them in that place called hell. The eternity is decided at that point for the lost. And that eternity is eternal death in a place called hell. Condemnation, the Bible calls it, judgment. That's the judgment that's at that final judgment. On that final judgment, the just judge will reward every man according to his deeds. He'll do it justly. What does the Bible say? For the wages of sin is death. Not speaking about a spiritual death in that verse. Speaking about a physical death, but a spiritual death. Hell. God says there's a price tag on sin, and that price tag is hell. And he is a just judge. He gives a fair sentence every time. And he will have to look at the sinner and say, hey, sinner, I'm sorry, but you're going to hell for your sin. That's the payment. Let me say this morning, though. Jesus Christ offers to pay for that sin for us. In fact, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on that cross. He hung there by his own will to die for you and I, to take our place of our sin debt. Praise God for that grace that he gave us in our life. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to make you pay that sin debt. He said, I'm going to die in your place. I'm giving you that opportunity. Jesus Christ, as your defender, is the only way to escape eternal damnation. Hey, we need a defender on that day, that judgment day. It's Jesus Christ. There's got to be a time where I trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I ask him into my heart and ask him to save me. There's got to be that time. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That final judgment day, I better make sure I'm prepared because eternity is at stake. Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Know your judge. Eternity is at stake. Hey, your pastor's not your judge that day. Hey, God, my pastor knows me. Ask me. I was in church every Sunday. Hey, your pastor's not your judge on that day. Your spouse is not your judge on that day. Hey, my spouse, they saw me. I was a good Christian, God. Ask them. Hey, it doesn't matter what your spouse says. God is your judge on that day. Your priest is not your judge on that day. Well, my priest said, it doesn't matter. What does God say? What does God's word say about the factor? And that's what matters. Are you ready for your eternity? Are you ready to meet that judge? You better prepare like God said to prepare. You better be ready. Let me say lastly here, for the saved, once again, we're going to stand at that judgment. What does it mean for the saved? Their judgment determines the rewards for eternity. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about anything. Don't got to worry about a judgment. There is a judgment for the lost, and there's a judgment for the saved as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It tells us here in this portion of Scripture about this judgment. Paul is speaking to the Christian here, and he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, there's no exclusions, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. For the Christian will be judged one day. What are we going to be judged on? How well we fulfilled what we were created to do. Say, Pastor, what is that this morning? We already know, Revelation 4:11. We were created for His pleasure. So how well in my life did I please God? How well did I fulfill pleasing God in my life? That's what I'm going to be judged on. My eternal rewards will be measured according to how well I gave God pleasure in my life. How well did I obey His commandments? How well did I follow what He told me to do? How well did I follow the instructions that God has given me to live out in my life? Pay attention now, Christian. Did I live in such a way to please God with my life. That's my judgment one day. Eternal rewards are at stake in this judgment. I'm about done. I'm closing it up. But listen this morning, Christian. Let me get this across to us this morning. I'm not going to stand before my spouse one day. I'm not going to stand before that person sitting by me in my church pew. I'm not going to stand before my coworkers. I'm not going to stand before my children. I'm not going to stand before my pastor. I'm not going to stand before people one day. And so I need to, in my Christian life, refuse the urge to try to run around impressing everybody and checking everybody's opinion and seeing what the wind is in everybody's life. And am I dotting my I's according to this person or crossing my T's according to this person? I got to lay all that aside because they're not my judge one day. But I do have a judge, and that's God. And God is going to judge me according to how I pleased Him. And so I better wake up and own the fact that He's my judge and decide I'm going to find out what God expects from me. I'm going to find out what does God want of me in my life because I'm going to stand before Him one day. Let me say this morning, Christian, it's God's opinion that matters. Know what God is judging you on. Know what God is judging you on. I remember as a young kid in school, test day. You teenagers like test day? Of course not. Test day. Now, I love the classes that before test day came, we had prepare for test day. And the teacher would go through and they would say, okay, here's what you should know for the test. And they would start giving them off and we'd start writing them all down. I wrote down everything that we needed to know. Why? Because tomorrow, when I'm taking the test, I want to get 100. And so I write all those down, I take them home, I study them, I make sure that I got them all down. Preparing for test day. You say, Pastor, how do I prepare for test day? How do I prepare for that final judgment? I know who my judge is because I need to have Him influencing me. Hey, praise God, I have Him as my judge. But now it's time to figure out, okay, God, what are you checking on test day? God, what are you checking? What are you looking at my life for? How do I please you in my life? Hosea chapter number 4, verse number 6. God gave us a passage, a phrase there. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know why God's people many times are destroyed or they fail in this matter of pleasing God or their life comes to ruin? Because they have a lack of knowledge for what God expects from their life. Christian, one day we'll stand before Him. I believe some of us will not be as happy as others because of the life that we lived. You know what many times it points back to? I didn't have a knowledge of what God expected from me. Whether I refused that knowledge, whether I rejected that knowledge, whether I said, I don't care about that knowledge, a lack of knowledge. Christian, can I encourage us this morning? Can I motivate us? Can I challenge us to get in your Bible, to listen to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and figure out what is God expecting from my life? What does He want from me in this matter of pleasure to Him? So one day when I stand on trial at that final judgment, hey, I can have a well done at that final judgment. I can have a good test day. I can get an A+ on whatever God was judging me in. He's my final judge. How ready am I for Him? Do I know what God is expecting in my life? Christian, when I read through this Bible, I ought to be reading through looking for what can I apply to my life? Today as I read my Bible, what is God going to show me that if I change my life a little bit in this area, I could get more pleasure for Him? You know what will happen if we have that attitude, Christian? All of a sudden, instead of our attitude about the Christian life always being, do I have to? Pastor, do I have to, in order to be a good Christian, do this? Does that really matter? Instead of our attitude being, well, what do you mean I can't? What do you mean the Bible says I can't? Instead of our attitude being like that, if I'll determine that He's my judge and His opinion matters, my question will not be, well, do I have to? Or why can't I? It'll be, what can I do to please Him? You mean if I do this, it'll please Him a little bit more? You mean I can please Him a little bit more in my appearance? You mean I can please Him a little bit more in my actions? You mean I can please Him a little bit more in what I say or what I watch? You mean I could please Him in this here? Hey, I'm for that because He's my judge. He's who I'm going to answer to one day. And He's what it's all about. Not the influence of my peers. Not, I got to do this because pastor said. Not, I have to do this because the Sunday school said. Not because I have to do this my husband said or my wife said. No, what does God say about that? And when I care about what God thinks, nobody's opinion is going to matter except for His opinion. And man, I could get some growth in this matter of pleasing God one day. And when I stand before Him at that final trial, oh, what a sweet day it will be. Oh, what a sweet day. Can I say this, this morning, Christian? Let's put things in perspective. It's not about what does a man say or what does a man think. It's about seek to please Him. It's about find what His Word says to do. It's about reading our Bible and listening to God's Word and asking, hey, God, what can I do to please You more? Why? Because He's our final judge. Don't fall into the destruction of a lack of knowledge. Hey, this morning you might know God's your judge. You might understand God's going to judge me one day. You might be banking just on the fact that He's a merciful God. I don't got to worry about anything. He is going to judge our works. Am I pleasing Him? Hey. That servant to his master. He talks a lot in the Bible about a servant to a master. That servant can work and work and work hard. But if he's not doing what the master asked him to do or the way he's asking him to do it, the master's just going to get frustrated at that servant. The servant has to find out what does the master want and then serve according to how the master wants. He doesn't need to serve according to how other servants want. He doesn't need to serve according to how his family wants. He needs to serve according to how God wants. Christian, know who your judge is. Know who your judge is. And then let's follow the expectations that the judge has for you and I. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed.